Hallelujah. Well, we're ministering on discovering purpose today. And so we've been talking about growth track. And I encourage you, if you haven't got through any of the growth tracks, please join. There are four consecutive weeks where you can jump in at any time, preferably not the fourth week, okay, because they're trying to get you plugged in to a team to work. Because how many of you know that we need to serve the Lord? Amen. The Bible says serve the Lord with gladness, not just come and being fed all the time, but doing something for the kingdom. And that's what I kind of want to talk about today is discovering our purpose. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, the Amplified Bible says this: many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. All right? It's not what we think or what we necessarily want to do. And some of us has caught on to this a little bit later than earlier. But it's not our plans that will succeed, but it's what God has planned for us. If we will get in His way, not our way, but His road, His direction, then we will be fulfilling God's plan for our life and we will be fulfilled. Amen? Without fulfilling the purpose that God has put in our DNA, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never be satisfied. So, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. Imagine this morning if God would write a book about you. What would it say? And he being honest and very accurate, totally truthful. Are you living with a purpose? Are you living with a purpose? Do you have that cartoon that you can put up there? Are you living with a purpose? You do have it, right? Amen. Technology's good? No. Where's Jazar at? I sent it to him. That was a big deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes visuals is very important, but if you don't have it, I guess we'll get it for next time. Amen? But the cartoon was simply this, a little thing. It had a school teacher on the blackboard or a whiteboard there in the class, of course, and she has a pointer in her hand, and what she's doing, she's pointing at the board, and it says birth, in between stuff, and death. Birth, in between stuff, and death. And one of the pupils speaks up and says, that's it? That's life. Birth, in between stuff, and death. So my question to us this morning, what are we doing? All that we are responsible for is the in-between stuff. We come into this world, and God has put purposes, God has defined our path, he's already written a book about us. But if we go our way, which is not God's way, we end up getting into a lot of trouble, amen? But we have to understand if we get the in-between stuff right, then when death comes, we'll receive our rewards, and we'll talk about that. But there's two greatest days in our life, when you're born, and guess what? Not when you got married. Oh yeah, when you get born again, but I guess this is a part of it, but the day you found your purpose. The day you found your purpose. The day that you were born and the day you found your purpose. Of course, you can't find your purpose unless you find Jesus. Amen. That's all part of a life. Amen. But the day you found your purpose. Now, people that haven't found their purpose, they'll ask questions like this: why am I here? Have you noticed the suicide rate is higher than ever has been before? With all ages. Because people have no purpose. They have no reason to get up in the morning. They have no dream. They have no desire whatsoever. They're just living from one day at a time. Whatever will be, will be. They have no plans. And they don't know God. Hallelujah. So why am I here? Or maybe this question: life doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. You're always looking for that person. We're always looking for that something to fulfill a void. Always looking. Well, maybe we need to go over here. Maybe we need to go and buy a new car. That'll make us happy. Or maybe we need to move to another town. See, it's purpose on the inside that drives you. It's purpose on the inside that gives you the legitimacy to live life, amen, to the fullest. And if you don't have your purpose, you're not going to fulfill what God has predestinated you to fulfill, because all of you have, amen, a plan and a purpose that was put in you by God, amen. And when you receive Jesus Christ, it should be ignited, anointed to do and be what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus had a purpose. You know what his purpose was? It's listed in 1 John 3:8. Jesus didn't just come to be born. Of course, he was, you know, he had an assignment. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. Prophetic prophecy after prophecy predicted what was going to happen to him. Isaiah, beautiful chapter, Isaiah 53. Tells about what was going to happen to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he died for our sins, of course. But 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose. Now, this was the Son of God. And actually, if you define that right, it's our purpose. Amen. Because we are to be imitators of God as dear children. Hallelujah. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, undo the works of the devil, abolish the works of the devil. That's what was happening with the witnessing teams this week. They were abolishing and destroying the works of the devil in the lives of these people. Amen. So Jesus had a purpose, and he never did stray from that purpose. Even at Gethsemane, when he says, Father, it's not my will, but your will be done. He took it all the way, amen, to death, burial, and resurrection, so that he could be the firstborn of many brethren. And we're part of that family today. Glory to God. So if Jesus had a purpose, we have a purpose. And that's really to destroy the works of the devil too. Well, I can't do that. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be this. I'm not. Yeah, well, the assignment is Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. However, the gifting is in you. Preach it. Love on people. Whatever. That's a purpose that we have. And the Apostle Paul had a purpose. In 2 Timothy 3:10, it says this about the Apostle Paul. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. Followed my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Think about that. You followed. I have a purpose, Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. And, of course, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was his mentor. Follow my purpose, follow my faith, follow my long-suffering, love, perseverance. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own, what is that word? Purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Think about that. Say this with me. I have a purpose. And you might not know what that purpose is, but you have a purpose for being here. You have a purpose for being here at Living Word. Hallelujah. We have a purpose for being born the time that we were born. We were living in a day that, you know, I often think, you know, I'm glad my mom and dad's in heaven so we don't have to live through this junk. But we're privileged to live through it. Because God knows that he has anointed us and empowered us to be the last day church. Anointed us with the Holy Spirit that we can write out whatever comes. Well, I don't know if I can handle what's coming. Yes, you can, because grace. Say grace. Grace. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Especially if we know our purpose. Glory to God. So God has a purpose in our life. Praise God. And God's purpose for you and for your life is bigger than yourself. You may as well get used to that. A lot of people won't step into their purpose because they don't believe in themselves. They think they're not adequate enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not this. And I'm not that. You know, I just don't have the personality to do that. I just don't. Yeah, stop making excuses. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. See, the grace of God will empower you to step out in those giftings. And really, your purpose is putting you at birth in those giftings that God has given you. Amen? You might have had the gifting to be the greatest greeter in the world, that you just shine, you just glow with the Spirit of God when people walk in. Amen. You're an exhorter. Or you love on people. You just love, whatever it might be. You might have the teaching ability or whatever. Stop limiting yourself to what you think you can do. What have you dreamed about in the past? What have you dreamed about? Well, I can't do what I dreamed. You know, think about it. What has God put in your heart that you've walked away from because of circumstances? And of course, the devil has put circumstances in your way to throw you off your divine purpose. So he puts roadblocks in front of you to deter you and get you off of your purpose, because that's the only way you're going to be fulfilled. So people get off of their purpose and they get addicted to alcohol, they get addicted to whatever, because they begin going through depression and everything because they don't have anything to live for anymore. And I'm talking about Christians too. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about people that are supposedly supposed to be mature. But because of the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's out there to steal your purpose, because once he steals your purpose, he stole your anointing. He's stolen everything from you, hallelujah, because you don't have that drive anymore to be who God wants you to be. And you need to turn around and look him in the face and say, it's not me. I'm not going to let you pull this on me anymore. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. Hallelujah. Don't let fear entrap you. Don't let doubt entrap you. Don't let fear of people. A lot of times it's a fear of people. Fear of what people think about you. Who cares? Who cares what people think about you? You know? Well, you know, I mean, young people have the bullying thing. We know that. They get bullied and so on and so forth. Who cares? God loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm gifted. I'm going to do what God tells me I can do. I'm going to be what God tells me I can be. And I'm going to fulfill the purpose that God's told me I have. Hallelujah. Because that's where my joy, that's where my peace, that's where my happiness is going to come from, is getting into the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it all starts, in fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul says this, for in him we live, we move, we have our being. Glory to God. As also some of you, of your own poets, have said, for we are also his offspring. We are dad's children. Amen. Well, you may have had a wonderful dad. I did. But you know, Daddy God, he says, you earthly people, if you know how to be good to your children and you being evil, how much more does your heavenly Father love you and will take care of you? We can't even fathom the love he has for us, the caring that he has for us. Think about that. He loves us so much with an unconditional love. And man, if we could understand our position in the family and that he has given us gifts and abilities, that we can tap into his grace and his anointing to fulfill those things. A lot of times we try to do things on our own power and our own initiative, but if we would let him empower us, we are a superman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God, because he has anointed us. Glory to God. That's why the apostles had to go to the upper room and wait to be empowered from on high. He said, you know, go tarry. And it says, he said, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive ability to be witness. Well, ability not only to be witnesses, to be who you are supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So discovering our relationship with Jesus, number one, who we are, what we are, and why we are. Who we are, amen? We're born again children of God, what we are, and why we are here. Hallelujah. Because if it was God's purpose to just get us to heaven, as soon as we'd say the sinner's prayer, we'd just beam up, Scotty. Lord, I love you, I receive you. Jesus, I love you, come into my heart. Boom, you're out of here. No, but he leaves us here because we are his body. We are his feet. We are his spokesman. Glory to God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the book that Rick Warren wrote years ago, Purpose-Driven Life, he gave five principles. And I want us to look at that really close because it's so true. We need to think about these things, okay? He says, number one, we were planned for God's pleasure to know him and to love him. That's number one. We were planned for God's pleasure. See, God wanted a family. That's why he created Adam, and then Eve came along, and he wanted a family. Yeah, he had a host of, he had innumerable amount of created angels. But he wanted a family that he could fellowship with. We remember in Genesis where he would come down and walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. Talking about intimacy before Adam sinned. And he wants that back. Jesus came as the second Adam, the Bible says, to restore that relationship. But how many of us are consistently walking with God in the cool of the day in our Garden of Eden? We look at all the junk around us. I want to say crap, but I won't say that. I did say that. Just beep that out. We're so consumed with, wouldn't it be wonderful just to get a mindset that, hey, I'm in that garden. God, I'm here. Glory to God. Let's talk together. Let's fellowship. Let's koinonia. Let's, you know. See, that's the beginning of finding your purpose, number one. Number two is we were formed for God's family, to find a home and a family. You know, a lot of people, when they are born again, and we need to pray, you know. Marguerite, it's wonderful to get people saved, but we want them to come into the family. We need to pray. How can we bring them in and disciple? How can we move them from receiving Jesus and plug them into a family where that they can grow in the things of God? You know, we are not to be renegades. We're not to be lone rangers. Well, I just serve God my way. I'm a couch potato now. I love Zoom. I love Facebook. I don't have to get dressed. Come on, we all went through that period, right, where we sit in our pajamas and watch church. Amen? Pretty cool, wasn't it? And maybe have breakfast while we're hearing pastor preach? Well, that was okay for that season. But we were formed for God's family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God said he's put us into the family as he decides. And there's all parts. He uses the anatomy of a physical body. There's a head, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the little toe. Every part is so important. We call it the corporate anointing. So yeah, you know, the apostle said, come together even more so as you see the day approaching. So we are part of the family. Amen? Hallelujah. Number three, we were created to become like Christ. Well, no, the fruit of the Spirit. We were created to become like Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and passion. And the fifth thing is that we were made for a mission. We were made for a mission to introduce other people to God's five purposes for their lives. Like one church said, found people find people. Found people find people. The sheep bear the sheep. Because we have testimonies, and that's what spoke to the hearts of these people that when they were out witnessing. The compassion, the love, and all this. So we have a mission. And it's not mission impossible, but it's mission possible. Amen? Because with God, all things are possible. A few years ago, I just want to share this. And some of you have heard this, some of you are new. But Chip Brim, Billy Brim's son, we were ministering out in Arizona with him a few years back. And we're talking about purpose now, right? And by the way, we're celebrating our 40th year anniversary. Amen? 40 years, 1982. We started Living Word. Actually, we called it the Believer's Church back then. And I came from California. We didn't know what we were doing, but God led us all the way. Amen? We felt like we had that purpose. We had to come back here without really any financial support, talking about walking faith. And some of you might say, yeah, I feel like I have a purpose, I have a dream, but I have no support, I have no backing. Hey, God is your, amen? We've seen God's faithfulness through it all. I will be talking and sharing that with you through the remainder of the year, amen, as we celebrate our 40th anniversary. But there were times, as pastors, we were wondering, what are we doing here? You know, going through things. And actually, this was given while we were in Brockton in the little church over there before we moved over here to this side of town. But he spoke these words over us, for there is a purpose why you're there. There's a purpose. And folks, I want to share that with you. You have the purpose why you're here this morning. You have a purpose why you're living in the hour that you're living right now. Because God wants to use you and anoint you to make changes in your family, in your town, whatever environment. See, we should set the environment that we're in. So there is a purpose why you're there. And he says, stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that could be prophetic for all of us, because we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Glory to God. Why? Because I'm going to skip down. Yeah, I'm going to read it all. But why? Because God said to us, I have a need of your church. Can you imagine that God needs you? We think God can just do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. But see, God has to have you to touch people. Amen. He has to have you to fulfill his ministry on the earth, because Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father now. So he has to use every one of us in children's ministry, in nursery, in greeting, in ushers, in outreach, and whatever we have going. And there's so many things that need to be done. And Pastor Judy and I, and Pastor Mike and Lori, we can't do them all. That's why God's given you gifts. There's gifts of administration, and there's all kinds of gifts that make the church work. And why is the church here? Because God needs us to reach the world and to bring in the harvest. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And this will excite us, because it talks about what we've been talking about as far as vision. I have a need of your church. I have a need of that place. I have a building. I have the land. Come on now. I see it. I have it all. But first the power, first the gifts, but first my way. Amen. So God has need of every one of us. So knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. Why am I here? Knowing your purpose has meaning to your life. Knowing your purpose brings focus to your life. You get up and you don't know what you're here for, you got to focus. Knowing your purpose motivates your life. It moves you. Remember, in him we live. We move. We got to move. Hallelujah. God, lead me. He can't lead a parked. I mean, how many of you try to steer a parked car? It doesn't do very good, does he? Well, I'm just going to. And we used to sing this song back in the day, you know. Every time I feel the Spirit, I will pray. So a lot of people never did pray. Because sometimes you got to start out praying before you feel anything. Come on, you guys know that. Amen? So knowing your purpose motivates your life. And knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. Knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. I'm winding down now. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. If you aim at heaven, you will, you will get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you get neither. One day you will stand before God and he will do an audit on your life, a final exam before you enter eternity. In Romans 14, 10 and 12, it says, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat," or the judgment seat of Christ. And verse 12 says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." And there's going to be two things that we're going to be questioned on. Two things. Really simple test. What did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? Did you receive him or reject him? And number two, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Your gifts. How did you invest the time, the skills, the money I entrusted to you? And what did you make of opportunities, the energy, the relationships I created for you? Did you spend them on yourself or did you invest them for me and my purposes? Whatever is done for Christ is what's going to last. There used to be a song, "Only One Life, So Soon It Will Be Over." Only what's done for Christ will last. And every one of you have gifts. Some of you are using them, praise God. Some of you have been sitting on them. Some of you might not know your purpose. But every one of you have a purpose. And I encourage you to step out by faith and begin to move toward that direction. And you might say, "I don't know." But as you begin to move toward something, I remember when we, Pastor Judy and I was she was just saved not too long. We were just married and we moved to California for a year before we came back here. But we went to the church that God led us to, and she immediately, signed up for things. And she didn't really know. She just wanted to help. Say help. Sometimes you just need a help. "Well, you know, I just want to help." You're probably lazy, that lazy spirit. You need to get all of you. Amen? But, you know, I mean, she did things. She taught children. She was a greeter. She did different things that, and she fit into something and some things she didn't. And so it was trial and error. But she was hungry. She loved Jesus so much that she wanted to find her purpose. So she started moving toward that. She started putting feet, amen, legs to her desire. "Jesus, I just want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to do what you want me to do." And she may have not known at the beginning that she would be preaching a lot and teaching and all of this kind of stuff. But amen? You just don't know. And don't try to figure God out. Just begin to move with him. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And if you haven't found your purpose yet, you need to dive into it. Just jump into it. Don't let what men say affect you. Just love God and love people. Say that with me. Love God, love people. You can't miss it. Father, I pray for this congregation right now that, Lord, they will be purpose-driven. God, that they will know that you've put things, deposited gifts and giftings in their heart, that they can walk out your purpose in their life. And Father, they will be fulfilled like they've never been fulfilled before. Father, I pray that these folks that are here today, sitting in this congregation, that they will hear from heaven, and God, and that they will respond. They'll respond positive to your calling and your desire. And I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear and confusion. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you'll have no purpose. Not for eternity anyway. Jesus came to die on the cross for you, to give you life and life more abundantly. And I want you to receive Jesus into your life today. Simple as this. God said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said it this way, if you believe that my son went to the cross and died for your sins, and you receive him, you'll be saved. And we're going to pray this prayer together right now, and I want you to pray it with me. So pray it out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Judy, hallelujah.
Amen. What a great message.